Please remember, the views and opinions expressed by this show or any other show on DV Radio and its guests are strictly those of said individuals and do not reflect those of the DV Radio staff, nor the staff of Dysfunctional Veterans.
Welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
I want to let the audience know, you know, Scav and I, we've worked together. We share information back and forth.
I run Scout as my service dog. He's a hearing dog, PTSD dog.
We're here to bring you news, interviews, and information about service dogs and about matters that are of interest to the service dog community.
Thank you for joining us on the Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
And welcome to the Service Dog Show. I'm your host, Joaquin Watai, also known as PTS Dog.
And I'm your host, Scav.
We don't have a guest today, and there's a reason for that, primarily being that we need to discuss a bill, an act that passed Congress. It has not passed the Senate yet. I don't remember any announcements because I've been tracking these bills that we will call, for lack of a better term, because there were four different ones, we'll call them all pause acts. But the bill we're discussing is House Resolution 4305, Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members for Veterans Therapy Act. So the first thing I want to talk about is the fact that this title itself is a kludge of the title of all four of the proposed PAWS Acts. The PAWS for all four laws have been Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members. Now we have for veterans who would be wounded service members, Therapy Act. So already the title's redundant and confusing.
Right.
Does it mean that the only veterans that are eligible are Purple Heart awardees? Because that's a wounded service member, because the VA doesn't consider PTSD to be a wound or injury. So right off the bat, just in the name, it's confusing. Who is this for?
I read through it a couple of times and I still can't tell you who this is for. I don't know if it's, they keep saying service dogs, but when I read it, it's ESA in the beginning. I just want to strangle somebody.
Yeah. This is a very confusing kludge. I really feel like what this thing is a Frankenstein's monster. People have been hammering the Congress to do something about veteran suicide. And four different versions of an act called PAWS were submitted to Congress last year. All four got kicked to a committee, to the Veterans Affairs Committee. And all four got kicked down from the Veterans Affairs Committee to the Veterans Affairs Health Subcommittee. And so this is what came back up to the floor. But you know, there were never any public hearings.
And they keep mentioning that over and over in this damn act, you know, average 20 veteran suicides a day.
In 2014 is when they announced 22.
Right.
The VA has since changed how they count how many veteran suicides there are to lower the number.
Yeah, the information in here is not even accurate. But yeah. if you go back and you look, they didn't even use all the money that they were granted to for veteran suicides. I mean,
so again, yeah. So right off the bat, it's confusing. Now they're in the findings, the first part of the bill, the best thing, the only good thing really in this whole bill is paragraph 2, which reads, the Department of Veterans Affairs must be more effective in its approach to reducing the burden of suicide connected to mental health disorders, including post-traumatic stress disorder, in this section referred to as PTSD, and new rigorous scientific research provides persuasive weight to the growing anecdotal evidence that service dogs ameliorate the symptoms associated with PTSD, and in particular, help prevent veteran suicide. Now, that language comes directly from the original PAWS Act that I wrote a scathing review about back in June of last year, I think.
Yes, sir.
I think it was June. That language is literally cut and pasted from that original PAWS Act. And I agree. The VA needs to do something about it, and the VA needs to stop resisting service dogs as an effective form of treatment for PTSD. Okay? No argument there.
No, you won't. Their treatment right now is they see you, they prescribe you drugs, and I say, we'll see you in 6 months.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Take the drugs. Yeah, exactly. And look, both you and I have done the drugs, right? We've taken
right.
pills. We have both found that we don't have to take all those pills with our service dog by our side. And we've both found that the service dog was more effective than all the counseling and the pills combined.
Absolutely.
That's not saying don't get counseling and don't take medications if you need them. That's saying find the most effective path for you. And in both of our cases, yes, counseling has been beneficial to both of us, but the pills were not.
No. And you know, any medical professional is going to tell you, if we prescribe you a drug, we want to follow up with you next week, maybe next month, not 6 months down the goddamn road.
Yeah. Yeah.
Anything can happen in 6 months. You can have an allergic reaction. The drug can have a side effect.
You could get into a car accident that compounds your disabilities and increases depression.
These are narcotics, for Christ's sakes. I mean, they're mind altering drugs.
Yeah. I mean, these medications can be very dangerous. Not saying, and again, we're not doctors. We're telling you what our experience has been, audience. So please, we are not saying stop taking your meds. We're saying we've both been able to eliminate the psych meds through the use of our service dogs. That's got to tell you something. And that we're not alone in that. That is common. So that paragraph is great. Paragraph two in it's the first full section after the introduction, but it's the second section. That paragraph is fantastic. Yes, the VA needs to recognize that service dogs help. However, the next paragraph fucking shoots itself in the foot.
Right.
Several organizations have proven track records of training service dogs for veterans with severe PTSD and dramatically improving those veterans' quality of life, ability to reenter society, and most importantly, their chances of survival. Okay, who? Proven how? Who's judging the success? Did anybody ask the veterans how, you know, what this is effective? This is generic. Several organizations. Okay, well, at least with the original PAWS Act, the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans were saying, our organizations do this well. We are proving a track record. Okay. And they're not lying. They did the study with Purdue University that's giving empirical results. There was another study with not Purdue. I can't remember the other school. It was a school in Florida also providing positive results. Okay. So yes, there have been organizations that have been successful. Okay. But this is nebulous. This is vague.
Right.
Okay.
Wasn't it the VA that's been fighting these studies?
Yeah, the VA has been fighting these studies. But here's the thing. Remember, go back again to the title of this act. Okay. The title of this act is Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members for Veterans Therapy. Okay. Now, here in this paragraph three of the introduction part, or of the findings part, they're saying there are some organizations that are showing success. I'm going to tell you that every single organization, no matter how they train service dogs, how they get the dogs to the veterans, all of them show success, not several. I've heard of bad experiences with organizations, but I have not heard a single veteran, I think, say, it didn't help me, it made things worse. You know, have you?
No.
Okay, so right there, several organizations, now we're starting to drive a wedge between somebody and somebody else, but we don't know who, okay? And like I said, I think all organizations can say we have had consistent success in changing and improving the lives of these veterans, okay? So again, it's starting to get confusing. It's starting to get muddy. And remember the title now, Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members for Veterans Therapy. For Veterans Therapy. Remember those three words, because we're starting to get into the bullshit. Okay. So here comes the directive. The Secretary of Veterans Affairs shall carry out a pilot program under which the Secretary shall make grants to one or more appropriate non-government entities or nonprofits for the purpose of assessing the effectiveness of addressing post-deployment mental health and post-traumatic stress disorder symptoms through a therapeutic medium of training service dogs for veterans with disabilities. Okay. Wait a minute.
Mm-hmm.
So which is it? Are we training service dogs for the veterans, or are we training the veterans to train service dogs?
Well, where's my puppy? You were going to give me a puppy in the beginning of this.
Yeah, at the beginning it's saying puppies assisting service, wounded service members for Veterans Therapy Act.
Okay, now that I've got my puppy and you want me to go get it trained, who am I taking it to? Because I don't see it listed here yet.
We don't know the names of the organizations. Apparently there are several organizations that are successful.
Yeah, ooh. That's... Where can I find several organizations?
I haven't stumbled across one named several. Okay, but wait. Now, think about this, though. Let's parse this. Let's tear this apart, okay? Appropriate one or more, making grants to one or more appropriate non-government entities, okay, for the purpose of assessing the effectiveness of addressing PTSD, mental health, post-deployment mental health symptoms, through a therapeutic medium of training service dogs for veterans with disabilities. At this point, we don't know if it's for the veterans who are training the service dogs or for other veterans. Now, there was a program at Walter Reed already. They've done a pilot program. They used the veterans in the PTSD clinic to train service dogs for other veterans.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, well, they got kicked off of Walter Reed. They got told on a Friday, don't be here Monday. Kicked out. They were thrown off the grounds because they weren't holding up their end of the bargain. They weren't according to news articles about it, and I don't think anybody's, except the people involved, really know what exactly happened. But apparently they weren't providing the patient care that they were supposed to be providing as these veterans were training service dogs for other veterans. Now, I have spoken to a couple of veterans who were members of this program. And they told me that the problem was they were bonding with their dogs and then they had to give the dog up, which is kind of like having your dog die.
That wasn't that long ago, because I remember reading about that.
3 years ago. Well, right. Less than 3 years. It was in the fall of 2017.
Yeah.
And there was a big stink about it.
Right.
But the thing is that what they were missing is, yes, absolutely, the vocation of training dogs is very helpful for veterans. It gives them direction, mission, focus, a schedule, okay, everything. That's great. The problem is when you take the dog away from the veteran training the dog doesn't know what to do, and the veteran doesn't know what to do. If I had to give Skeeter up today, I would be lost. Same with you, with Scout, right?
Right.
Part of every day, part of your morning, as you're getting your coffee, you train. Yep. Every time we go to the store or the post office or just take mommy to work and pick her up, we train. Everything's a training opportunity. Take away the dog, what are you training?
Yeah.
Okay. So, and again, remember, this has been tried and it failed, and they literally on a Friday afternoon told the program, leave the facility, do not be here Monday morning. They kicked them out physically. Okay. So this has not only been tried, but it failed, and it failed in a tremendous and glorious way. So now we're making this very nebulous law proposing to do this again. Okay. So the organizations are supposed to provide service dogs to veterans with PTSD. Okay. Well, yeah, that's what the service dog organizations do. Most of them, and all of the ones that would apply for these grants. But they must be accredited by or adhere to standards comparable to those of an accrediting organization with demonstrated experience, national scope, and recognized leadership and expertise in the training of service dogs and education in the use of service dogs.
Now, where the hell do you find those people?
Yeah, first of all, there is one organization in the United States that accredits service dog trainers. They're based in Lampasas, Texas. I can't remember what they're called. But in order to get accreditation, and this is where it gets really fishy, you have to have been a member of their organization for at least 5 years, dues paying. Then you have to pay to take their accreditation course and test. Okay, and then you have to pay to maintain your Do you see where I'm going with this? Yeah. If you pay them enough money, you're accredited. And if you've paid them for long enough. And guess what? Nobody, none of the big, you know, Canines for Warriors, Battle Buddies, all the big names, CADSAW, nobody uses this accreditation. Do you know why?
Enlighten me.
Well, because there's no such thing as an accredited dog trainer.
Correct.
There is no accrediting body of dog trainers. The AKC does not accredit dog trainers. The AKC does accredit evaluators, people who can provide the tests, the canine good citizenship, you know, urban good citizenship, right? They accredit them, but they do not accredit trainers. There is no single accrediting body for dog trainers in the United States. You can go to schools, Animal Behavior College, a couple other places, and get a degree in training and in behavior, okay? But it's not accreditation. There's no board or supervisory body maintaining accreditation of dog trainers. Literally, as it stands right now in the United States, anybody can claim to be a dog trainer.
It almost sounds like another big pharma.
Right. It's move. Like we're trying to take over and create something that doesn't exist using our standards. Okay. And this is the problem I have with the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans. You know what? If you want your members of your organization to meet these standards in order to qualify to be members of your organization, that's fine. But when you start trying to inflict your standards on everybody else, without understanding their circumstances, what their work, you know, how they're working, who they're working with, then it becomes a problem.
Yep.
Okay. And yeah, that's what I see here.
Yeah, we're going to give you this puppy. You're going to get this puppy trained by our guy. It's going to be trained to this standard. You're going to follow this list of rules. It's just.
And you know what? Most of the standards that these service dog organizations have don't have anything to do with the dog's ability to perform tasks directly related to the handler's disability.
No.
Now, I'm not saying that dogs don't have to be trained to behave in public. They absolutely do. What I'm saying is what looks like behavior for one disabled person with a service dog might actually be the dog's, how that person has trained the dog to get their attention, to assist them by alerting them. Okay, a PTSD service dog looks completely different than a mobility service dog. How they function and what they do is totally different. And to a mobility service dog user whose dog is used strictly for helping them move around, picking up objects and opening doors, that looks like disobedience and misbehavior. Vice versa, we look, a PTSD service dog handler looks at a mobility service dog and goes, why doesn't your dog get to be a dog? Mm-hmm. What's going on with this robotic behavior? How, you know, where's the joy? How does this dog alert? Well, I don't need the dog to alert me. Okay, great. Yeah. But you're expecting my dog to behave like that. And I'm not talking about growling and barking. I'm talking about just how the dog physically functions as it's working and performing tasks. Doesn't look the same. So whose standards?
Yeah, and you know, as handlers, we can't look at, I can't look at Skeeter and be like, well, I can't look down on him because he doesn't live up to my standards.
Right. Skeeter's trained to do what I need him to do.
Right.
Nowt is trained to do what you need him to do.
You know,
Roxy, the PTSD service dog, is trained to do what Justin needs her to do.
Right.
Not and what I need her to do or what you need her to do.
And you've got to have an open mind when you're out there. That's why, you know, all these damn fake service dogs and everybody that wants to be service dog police.
There's no such thing as a fake service dog. The person right. problem. But yeah,
you know, that's why I tell them that, you know, on the page, mind your damn business. You don't know what's going on.
Yeah.
You know, if I'm out there at Walmart and I see a service dog or what I assume to be a phony, mm-hmm. it's not my business. Let them go. You know, if the store wants to interfere, that's the store interfere. But I don't know if that, you know, that what that dog's doing is real or not.
Yeah. Well, and that's just it. I mean, Skeeter's trained to knock me flat on my ass and lay on me until I calm down and don't deck someone. Mm-hmm. That looks like disobedience to everybody around me. That's exactly what I need him to do so I don't end up in jail.
But now that you know, with these people that on this act here, mm-hmm. we're going to have all our dogs acting like goddamn robots.
Yeah, well, guess what? They're not. No. And we aren't robots. All right, so the organization has to agree to... The organization has to cover all costs in excess of the grant about. Well, they're raising funds anyway. They're all nonprofits. They have to agree to re-accept or replace the service dog the organization provided to the veteran, if necessary, is determined by the organization and the veteran. So again, I'm confused. Are these veterans being taught to train their own service dog or service dogs for other veterans? Because remember, they're basing this bill is a kludge, and they're basing the whole veterans therapy part on what was going on at Walter Reed, where part of the veterans therapy was learning to train service dogs for other veterans. So again, we're confused. Where right. are the dogs going? Is it to the veteran who's learning to train service dogs, or is it going to another veteran because the veterans therapy is to learn to train service dogs?
And
before everybody says, well, but that's not, you know, that's confusing. That's not what it says. It also says that the veteran qualifies while he's going through this program, okay, for he qualifies for a compensation for it's essentially voc rehab style, but it's not calling it voc rehab. But the veteran's going to get paid while he's going through this program learning to train service dogs in a very similar fashion to voc rehab. I can't find the exact line, and I apologize, but it is in there. Okay, so which is it? Is this a vocational program giving veterans a new job, training them to train service dogs, or are we training service dogs for that veteran who's in the program? It's confusing. Which is it? Okay. We go on. The organization has to have the dog vetted and get a wellness certificate. Okay. Well, that's a no-brainer. Employ at least one person with clinical experience related to mental health. Why?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand there.
Because
we have next, PTSD.
Yeah. The next, where is it? Further down, it says that the veterans have to be under the treatment of the VA, of the Department of Veterans Affairs. Okay. So in mental health. So in order to participate with this program, the veterans have to be participating in mental health at the VA, including appointments at least once every 6 months. Well, I can right. tell you. You know what? We go to counseling a little more often than that. At least I know you and I do.
Correct.
Okay. So what is this person who is an employee of this organization doing? Because if they're treating these veterans, are they contradicting the treatment the veterans are getting at the VA? Who's setting up their clinical protocol? What are they there for? So if these veterans are learning a new vocation, I mean, what are they there for?
So now we got this imaginary service dog place. You've given me a puppy that I take to this imaginary service dog place. We don't know if you're training it or I'm training it. And now we have a psychologist or a counselor that I'm not familiar with going to tell me that I'm already fucked up.
Yeah. Okay. So again, confusing. Now, here's the other thing. Service dog training organizations have one job: train service dogs. They are not medical organizations. What are the implications as far as liability on the behalf of these mental health professionals?
Right.
I mean, this is a service. This is a place to train service dogs, not go for treatment. Now, we know that learning to train your service dog is treatment, okay, but it's not mental health treatment in that there is a protocol and, you know, you do this and this and this and you prescribe these, this and this meds. That's not how it works. You are learning a new vocation, and in that learning, you find healing because it gives you something to do. It gives you a job. It gives you focus. It gives you a mission. So again, this is very confusing. Who's treating the veterans as far as mental health is concerned? The VA or the service dog training organization? Okay. Now I can tell you where this came from. This came from the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans, and it came from the original PAWS Act, because the model that they use is based off the program down in Florida, and they do have an on-staff, in the building, licensed clinical social worker, and I've spoken to this person, okay? And at that location, in their facility, in their community, that works. In one place in Florida. But now, in order to be part of these grants, you have to, wherever you are, if you're going to qualify, you now got to go hire a mental health professional to do what? Because the veterans are required to be in treatment at the VA. So what's this person doing? It doesn't say. This is confusing.
Are they taking money out of these grants to pay for this psychologist, counselor? Yeah. We don't know. We don't even know where the grant money's coming from.
Yeah. Okay, so they have to ensure that the veterans participating in the pilot program receive training from, here it is again, certified service dog training instructors. There's no such thing. There's no such thing as a certified dog training instructor or a certified dog trainer. It doesn't exist. Go Google certified dog training instructor. Find it. Please prove me wrong. Then go Google certified service dog training instructor. I already told you there's one organization that does that. And nobody is a part of that organization.
But they're going to teach me skills, man. They're going to teach me skills to alleviate my symptoms.
Agree to provide both lectures on service dog training methodologies and practical hands-on training and grooming of service dogs. Well, that makes sense if you're teaching veterans to train service dogs for other veterans. But it's already looked like, well, but the veteran keeps the dog or doesn't keep the dog. That, you know what, it said that back in point number 3.
Right.
Okay, so which is it? Are we training veterans to train service dogs, or are we training veterans to train their service dogs? It doesn't say. It doesn't.
We still don't know if this is cooperative or if it's a cookie cutter.
Yeah, we don't know. Agree that in hiring service dog training instructors to carry out training under the pilot program, the non-government entity will give a preference to veterans who have successfully graduated from PTSD or other residential treatment program and who have received adequate certification in service dog training. There it is again.
Yeah.
What certification? Yeah, who is providing this certification?
That's the third or fourth time in, what, 3 pages that showed up?
No, we're still on page 2. And we're going to pause for a quick break. When we come back, we'll finish we'll finish tearing this little piece of legislation apart, because I've got to tell you folks, as stands, this is a waste of your time, a waste of your tax dollars. This is virtue signaling on the behalf of Congress. Look what we did. Hey, veterans, vote for us. Look what we did. But it doesn't actually help any veteran. We'll be right back after this.
DVD DV Radio.
BuyYourHomeWithLiz.com is the place to go for veterans, firefighters, law enforcement, healthcare workers, EMS, military, and teachers when you want to buy, sell, or refinance your home. BuyYourHomeWithLiz.com has made the Snafu Music Hour possible by being the sole sponsor. So please, if you're looking to buy, sell, or refinance your home, contact Liz with ERA Key Realty Services at buyyourhomewithliz.com/heroes today. You can also call Liz at 508-658-0153.
Shooters Express is Charlotte's number one destination for all personal defense, sport, instruction, and recreational shooting supplies. They offer concealed carry classes for only $29.95. That's only $29.95 for concealed carry classes. And if you're military or law enforcement, you'll receive great deals and be eligible for even more at Shooters Express. So head over to Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina, or visit shootersexpress.com for more information and monthly deals. That's Shooters Express in Belmont, North Carolina.
This is not a paid endorsement from Shooters Express and is provided solely by DV Radio for your charge.
What's DV Radio?
DV Radio is for you, the veteran, active duty service member, caregiver, and civilian supporter of the military. DVRadio.net is the online veteran network made for and by veterans. From original shows to syndication, you can find it here on DVRadio.net. In an effort to continue our mission and make better quality shows for each and every one of you, visit our Patreon at patreon.com/DVRadio. Whether you can only pledge $1 per month or that entire $1 million inheritance your uncle left you, there's a tier with rewards waiting for you. So why not keep DV Radio running and get rewarded at the same time? Head to patreon.com/DVRadio now. That's patreon.com/DVRadio.
Radio. Let's get it on.
We've got some fresh beef for you.
The music.
Let's go.
You're listening to WDVR on DVRadio.net. By veterans, for veterans.
Simply made for you.
Welcome back to the Service Dog Show. You are listening to Scav and I here on DV Radio WDVR. And we are so grateful to have you tuned in. We are discussing the Puppies Assisting Wounded Service Members for Veterans Therapy Act. And as we're going through this line by line, we're reading you from the law. We're discovering that this law doesn't make any sense. And we're trying to figure out how it passed because it's a clusterfuck.
Pretty much. We're on what, number nine, and that's probably the only thing I have agreed with so far.
Yeah, number nine, I agree with. Agree not to use shock collars or prong collars as training tools and to use positive reinforcement training. Don't have a problem.
I love that one.
Yeah, that's how I train skeeter. I train right. An Alaskan Malamute that is bred to hunt and pull, not to hunt and pull, without using aversive training devices. And I have no formal dog training. I just had dogs my whole life and came to the conclusions that in order to train this dog appropriately to do what I need him to do, I wasn't going to be able to, you know, yank on a collar and squeeze his neck or anything.
Right.
But that's neither here nor there. No, we're not here to get into this. Okay?
Nope. No.
All right. So, but that's good. Agreed that upon the conclusion of training provided using the grant funds, the veteran who received the training will keep the dog unless the veteran and the veteran's health provider decide it's not in the best interest of the veteran. Okay, so again, which is it? Are we training the veterans to become service dog trainers? Or are we training the veterans to train their own dogs? Which, by the way, is, what do we call it? Cooperative training, like our friends at TADSAW do, okay? And no, this is not a big, long TADSAW commercial. This bill is actually designed to try and elbow TADSAW out of the business.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, it's sort of describing cooperative training, except now we're giving the dog away again. So which is it?
And we still don't know, because if you go down to the next one, if your doctor says you can't have this dog, now it's up to this entity that we still don't know
to place it. Yeah.
To somebody else. Okay. Thought I lost ear. My hearing aid died.
Oh.
We're good. Go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. And that's just it. If the veteran doesn't want the dog, then they'll place the dog with another veteran. So again, what is the point of this law? are we training veterans to train service dogs for other veterans, or are we teaching veterans to train their own service dog?
So I've trained Scout. I can't have him. We're going to give him to you now.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Or,
well, but and also now, because the organization that taught you to train Scout isn't one of these organizations that fit in this very nebulous description, because they know that there's no such thing as a certified dog trainer, let alone a certified service dog trainer. Okay. So they don't fit. So now is the VA going to, because remember, the VA loves to pull shit like this.
Right.
Is the VA going to say, well, your dog didn't come from that, so you can't bring that dog here.
Right.
Okay.
So now, you know, this is.
And folks, if you're listening and you're like, nah, that doesn't happen, you're wrong. There was a VA in Florida that was running an illegal service dog registry, requiring veterans to register their dog with their registry in order to bring the dog on VA property. That is directly against federal law and against VA policy. There is a VA in West Virginia that's still doing it, that I'm still working with a veteran to fight. So don't say it doesn't happen, because it's happening right now. This is not hyperbole. The VA makes up their own rules, even though they do have a national standard that is law, that is VA policy that they are supposed to follow. They're still making up their own rules at individual VAs. It does happen. It is happening.
Mm-hmm.
You don't believe me? Contact me directly via the PTS dog page, and I will introduce you to some veterans who are going through hell dealing with the VA. In fact, I will introduce you to a veteran who fought the VA, went to the Department of Justice. It went to a hearing. The Department of Justice ruled that the VA, who does not follow under the ADA, but falls under the Rehabilitation Act of 1973, Section 504, the VA was in violation of Section 504 of the Rehabilitation Act of 1973. The DOJ ruled they were wrong. And the VA continued the policy that the DOJ determined was illegal. VAs are still maintaining that policy, and that is not to allow service dogs with their veteran handlers in dental clinics. That has been ruled by the Department of Justice as being illegal, and yet almost every VA location is still doing it.
It's ridiculous.
Don't tell me it's not happening. I know for a fact I have a copy of the ruling. Okay, so again, who's the dog going to? Confusing. Okay, the department, so here's where somebody from the VA got in on the writing process. The Department of Veterans Affairs will have no additional responsibility to provide for any benefits under this section, meaning no insurance or equipment for your dog.
Correct.
And the Department of Veterans Affairs will have no liability with respect to the dog. Now,
so they washed their hands.
The Department of Veterans Affairs is washing their hands of the dog and the any insurance type benefits for the veteran to assist with the dog. One of the things that the VA does through the prosthetics department for blind handlers of guide dogs and physically disabled veterans who use mobility dogs is if those dogs come from certain organizations, they provide insurance. At this point, if this law goes through the Senate and passes, that's going to disappear. I'm going to tell you right now, they're going to take it away from everybody. Now, do I have a problem with that? Actually, no. I think the VA should never have started paying for the insurance. I think that the nonprofit organizations that are pumping these dogs out should either have a discount option with, you know, worked out with an insurance company, or provide the pet insurance for the service dogs that they're providing to these veterans. Because guess what? These service dogs that come from the International Guide Dog Association and ADI organizations don't cost the VA a dime unless the VA is providing the pet insurance for them. Okay, so let's get the VA out of it altogether. I don't have a problem with that. Now, this second part, the Department of Veterans Affairs will have no liability with respect to the dog. They already don't.
Right.
The person who's liable for the behavior of the dog is the person with the leash in their hand, period. Any court of law is going to charge the handler, not the doctor who said you should get a service dog. Now, where the VA could be liable is when you have VA psychiatrists, psychologists, and licensed clinical social workers saying to veterans who need a PTSD service dog, oh, you just need an ESA, that's all you need. And not educating them about what an emotional support animal is, vice what a PTSD or psychiatric service dog is, and where you can take them. At that point, when the doctor says, oh, just get a dog and that'll be fine, and doesn't explain what that means, then absolutely the VA is liable. It's the same as if a pharmacist handed you a bottle of pills and didn't provide you with the information about side effects and cross indications and things like that. At that point, that pharmacist becomes liable if that medication causes you illness, issues. Okay. The VA has never been liable for a service dog or for when the handler's right there, whatever the dog did. It is the handler's responsibility. It always has been under the Americans with Disabilities Act, under the Air Carriers Access Act, under the Fair Housing Act. It is the responsibility of the handler to maintain the behavior of their dog. And if something happens, they are liable, not the VA, not the doctor.
100%. And that's why with cooperative training and with self-training, that I agree with you 100%. It's on the handler, but these other outfits that train the dog and then issue them to you, I think that responsibility relies on their shoulders. They're the ones.
Well, yeah, because they don't train the handlers how to handle the dog, and they don't teach them the concept of training never ends.
Right.
There would be liability there because basically it's the same as handing a kid a gun, a loaded gun, saying, here you
Pretty
go.
Much.
Don't hurt yourself. Yep. You know,
you trained this dog for what, a year, and then you turn it over to a guy that you taught for 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Yeah,
he has no idea what he's doing, doesn't understand the law. There's an organization out there, at least one, and I know there's more, who are telling veterans that the answer to the second question allowed by the ADA, what tasks is that dog trained to perform, that they're telling them to just say PTSD. Well, at that point, they have not answered correctly, and the business can ask them to remove their dog, because PTSD is not a task.
Right.
It's a diagnosis. It's a disability. It's a disabling condition. But it's not a physical task. The law requires that the dog be trained to perform physical tasks to assist you with your disability. That's for another show and another discussion. But, okay, now those organizations that are teaching those veterans the wrong thing should be held liable.
Correct.
Okay, the organizations are supposed to provide follow-up support service for the life of the dog, so insurance. Things like that, plan between the veteran and the entity, for the veteran to reach out and receive adequate help with the service dog, and the organization to communicate with the veteran to ensure the service dog is being properly cared for. And then they have to submit, the organizations have to submit this. Okay, so it's turning it around and saying the organization is going to be responsible for the insurance and the equipment and things like that. You know, I don't have a problem with that. Is that going to cause a little more requirement for fundraising for those organizations? Sure. But some of these organizations are pulling in millions of dollars. Millions. I can name one. I was just looking over their required financial disclosure this morning, who has spent $6 million in the last year on training service dogs, but their intake was... No, $5 million on training service dogs, but their intake and donations was $11
million. Huh.
Where the fuck's that other $7 million going?
In their pocket?
You think? It's a very famous, well-known, large service dog training organization.
Well-hated one.
Tadsaw doesn't even break $1 million every year.
Yeah.
And yet, Tadsaw, over the past 10 years, has trained more than 1,100 service dogs. Why? Because they're not spending money on overhead.
Yeah.
So it's still confusing. Is this bill about training veterans to train service dogs who then go to other veterans, or is it about training veterans to train their service dog? Okay.
We still can't answer that.
We can't answer. The bill doesn't answer it. Now, here's another problem. Every bill, every other version of the PAWS Act that was submitted last year that required an action with finances from the VA for grants delineated the amount of the grants, the source of the grants, and a number of veterans and dogs required to train. For example, the version that named the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans set aside $10 million over a period of 5 years to benefit 400 veterans, 400 service dogs over 5 years for $10 million. That's $25,000 per dog. Okay? There's no money mentioned in any way, shape, or form, or even how the money's going to get to the VA to provide the grants in this bill.
Right.
There is no financial nothing. Doesn't exist.
The other thing that I never found was, where are the dogs coming from?
Good question. Well, a lot of these organizations use rescues. Some of them have breeding programs. Okay. So again, though, this is a 5-year pilot program, according to this law. Okay. But how many veterans, does that mean that they can get a grant and help and this, and there's 15 organizations that are, that qualify and they can get a grant and help one veteran a year? There's no number. How many right. people are they helping? How many dogs are they providing?
And the thing that scares me the most too is, you know, you get it, you get accepted in this program, let's say in year 4, uh-huh. and then they shut this down and
you're not finished training.
Right. You know how the government is. They'll just stop. You're done.
Yeah. Well, also, how long do you have to wait to get into this program? Because I'm going to tell you right now, a lot of these big name programs have 2 and 3 year waiting lists.
Right.
Okay. Now, I don't know about programs that are members of the Association of Service Dog Providers for Military Veterans. I don't know what their waiting time is. I can tell you that, you know, the cooperative training organization that we know, TADSA, you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks because between you and the trainer, you've got to find a dog. And that takes a little while.
Yep.
You know, but you're looking at 4 to 6 weeks, not 2 or 3 years or even 1 year. Here's the other thing about the way cooperative training programs work. Sweat equity. The program trains you to train your dog. You train your dog. The responsibility and liability rests on you, the handler, which is the way it should be. That is how the ADA is written. The handler is responsible and accountable for anything that happens with their dog. I've got to tell you, this law, I can't, again, I'm still trying to figure out how the fuck it passed. Because if anybody with half a brain had actually read it, they would have gone, huh?
Oh, it's painful.
It doesn't make sense. This law does not make sense.
So yeah, I read it, reread it, wrote notes on it, and yeah, as we're talking about it, it's still a big pile of garbage.
Every time I read it, I just get more confused. Who the fuck is this law supposed to actually help, and how? Because it doesn't say. It doesn't say.
It's like you had 5 different people write it, and they just throw it on a piece of damn paper.
Well, I said from the first time I saw the article and read the text, it's a kludge. They took the 4 different versions of the PAWS Act that got submitted to Congress last year, and some poor staffer at 3:30 in the morning after 6 margaritas kludged it together and pulled out specific things and put in some specific things, mainly the VA's not liable, right. and said, here it is, go pass this. And nobody bothered to look at it and go, and understand it.
Well, you know, you don't have to read it. You just have to pass it.
Yeah, just go pass it. And it was passed unanimously. That's how I know nobody read it. Because if one congressperson had read it, who had a modicum of common sense, they would have looked at this bill and gone, what the fuck is this?
You know what I loved is when I posted it out there and I was watching not just my feed or your feed, but everybody else in our network. Everybody's like, oh, yeah, and throwing the likes and the hearts up. Mm-hmm. Yeah, apparently you didn't read it either. You just saw the headlines.
oh, it's going to help veterans. No, it's not.
No, you didn't fucking read the goddamn thing. You just saw puppies for veterans, and you were like,
this
wetting your
this
panties.
This bill will not help veterans. Or if it does, it will help a very small number that doesn't really even approach tackling 22 suicides a day, which is a low estimate anyway. I mean, this bill is a fucking clusterfuck. It is nonsense.
You just, you know, that's the kind of shit that bothers me. These people, they just walk around with blinders on, and you put veteran together, and somebody likes it on your page, and somebody else likes it, and hey, I'm just following right along.
Yeah. How do we deal with it? Talk to your senators.
Right.
Message your state senators. Tell them you do not agree with this bill. This bill is confusing. Ask them to read the text of the bill. Explain that this bill does not only does it not provide where the money's coming from, but it doesn't specify in any definable way that makes sense who the money's going to, because it's requiring certifications that don't exist. So we need to figure out the bill is a mess. I'm hoping it gets to Senate, the Senate shoves it in a committee, and it just dies on the Senate floor the same way all different versions of the PAWS Act, which there have been iterations of the PAWS Act going on since 2016, maybe earlier, but 2016 that I know of, and they have all died. I'm hoping the same thing happens here. However,
contact Senate and say, please read this bill.
Yeah, make sure you write that you're a service dog, handler, or veteran when you contact them.
Yeah, yeah. Please read this bill. This bill is ridiculous. We've got about 10 minutes left, and I really do want to go over very, very quickly the Department of Transportation's NPRM, Notice of Proposed Rulemaking. so this is a little bit different and for the most part positive, okay? DOT is looking at changing the rules for flying with your service dog, with dogs. So there's some big changes, the biggest of which is that emotional support animals will no longer be allowed on flights because they do not require the extensive training that service dogs do. I understand that emotional support animals play an important part in the mental health of their owners, and I'm not arguing that. However, the only thing an ESA needs to do to help their handlers is exist, whereas a service dog has to be trained to perform worker tasks and has to be trained to be able to endure the difficulties of public access. ESAs don't have that training. They're not required to. And, you know, so I don't have a problem with that. A lot of people say, well, I won't fly if I can't take Fifi the Wonder Poodle. Okay, great. Then Fifi's not going to bite anybody because you didn't train Fifi to deal with that kind of stressful situation. I'm okay with that.
I am too. Don't fly. I don't fly. And I've got, dog.
We have test trained service dogs and we drive. Okay. So that's one, you know, number one. Let me go over the high points. The first of all, service animal would be defined as a dog individually trained to do work or perform tasks for the benefit of a qualified individual with a disability, including physical, sensory, psychiatric, intellectual, or other mental disability. In other words, the ACAA will no longer separate psychiatric service dogs from other service dogs, mobility, medical alert, guide, but will, just like the ADA, count a service dog as a service dog regardless of the disability. Absolutely 100% agree with that. Absolutely. Right. Carriers would not be required to recognize emotional support animals as service animals and may treat them as pets. Again, agree. So what they're saying is you can fly with Fifi the Wonder Poodle, but Fifi the Wonder Poodle has to be in a carrier and probably has to fly, if it doesn't fit under the seat in front of you in its carrier, has to fly in the cargo bay. Correct. Not a problem to me. Again, because Fifi the Wonder Poodle has not been trained to deal with flying. Psychiatric service animals be treated same as other service animals. The first point and the third point, this is directly from the NPRM. They're redundant. It's the same. Carriers would be permitted to limit service animals to dogs. Here I have an issue. The ADA makes an exception for miniature horses, and we've seen Flirty the miniature horse, Honey the miniature horse, and a third one whose name I don't remember already have flown successfully.
Correct.
I think that the ACAA needs to make the same exception that the ADA does for task-trained miniature horses. I don't agree with that. I think that if it's a task-trained miniature horse, it should be treated the same as the ADA does.
Yeah, and I agree 100% with you on that one. If the ADA recognizes miniature horses, I don't see why, you know, the airplanes aren't going to recognize them.
Yeah, and like I said, we've already seen three fly successfully. So, because the last change, rule change here just earlier, late last fall, allowed for that. And
you know, they're saying size, but you've seen these horses.
I've got a 100-pound service dog that's as big as a mini.
Right. They're no bigger than, yeah. There's bigger dogs than that out there.
Yeah, there are 200-pound mastiffs out there working the service dogs. Okay, here's where we get into some real problems. Carriers would be permitted to require passengers to remit a completed U.S. Department of Transportation service animal air transportation health form as a condition of transportation. Now, all airlines, all people who fly with pets on airlines have to submit a certification of health from the veterinarian. What I don't like about the Department of Transportation's form is the first question. There's, you know, fill out your name, the animal, blah, 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 blah. And then there are three questions. And the first question is, of the veterinarian, to my knowledge, this dog has not exhibited any aggression, blah, blah, blah. So the first question requires the veterinarian to make an assessment of the animal's training and behavior. No veterinarian is qualified to do that. The vets sees the dog for what, 15, 20 minutes, two or three times a year? So in 45 minutes in a year, you're going to make an assessment of the dog's training and behavior?
My vet seems to know.
The most stressful environment that you could take that dog, the vet? Really?
Well, and some people don't even have a vet. You can, you know, for the longest time, we use Tractor Supply for all the shots.
Yeah. Okay, but not only that, but what veterinarian is going to sign it, given the fact that if the dog does bite somebody, they signed off that the dog was safe, okay, then they're liable because they said it was safe. No veterinarian's going to sign that. Take that question out. Just require a health certificate that's within the last year, like every other pet that flies. Okay, I don't have a problem with that. But that one question, vets are going to refuse, and that becomes a barrier, and disabled people with trained service dogs aren't going to be able to fly. That's a problem.
Yep.
Carriers would be permitted to require passengers to remit a complete U.S. Department Transportation, a use of transportation service animal air transportation behavior and training attestation form as a condition of transportation. Basically, what this is a questionnaire asking, is this a trained service dog? What tasks is it trained to perform? Do you attest that the dog will not bite, bark, growl, blah, 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 blah? Okay. The point of this form is to weed out the fakers. The people who want to bring Fifi the Wonder Poodle, who has had no training and will lie and say it's a service dog. That's not a bad idea. However, the point of the Air Carriers Access Act is equal access, meaning for disabled people, meaning that it should be as simple and easy for me to fly with my service dog as a disabled person as anybody else. Walk up to the gate, show my ID, purchase my ticket, and get on the plane.
Mm-hmm.
Here you're adding an extra barrier. The point of the barrier is to weed out the unconscionable assholes who take their bitey, McBitey-faced dogs and lie and say it's a service dog. Am I willing to compromise and say, okay, I'll accept this in order to fly? Maybe. Here's the problem. The hotel industry is going to see that disabled handlers are required to fill out a form in order to fly.
Right.
The transportation industry, taxis, buses are going to see that to fly on a plane, you have to fill out a form. And all of a sudden, other industries are going to say, well, if you have to do it there, you should have to do it here. And there we go, eroding the rights of disabled handlers to be treated equally. And we begin to become second-class citizens. I agree something has to be done about the liars and the fakers. I don't agree that this is the right solution because this opens Pandora's box. And I see the potential for the rights of disabled handlers to be eroded. The same way the rights of American citizens to keep and bear arms has been eroded. If you don't understand what I'm saying, think about gun control. According to the Constitution of the United States, the right to keep and bear arms is a right bestowed upon mankind by God and protected from the government by the Constitution. Okay. In the same way, the ADA, the ACAA, and the FHA are civil rights acts intended to guarantee to protect the equality of disabled people to be treated and have access equally. So when we start to put barriers in place, those people begin to become less than equal. This is the definition of discrimination. And just like with firearms, if we're going to make a compromise, the Firearm Safety Act in 1934 was a compromise, then we're going to make another compromise and we're going to ban this kind of thing. Then we're going to make another compromise and we're going to require this in order to buy a gun. And then we're going to make another compromise and all of a sudden we've got red flag laws where the neighbor can say, I don't like you. I think you're dangerous and I know you own guns, so I'm calling the police. And you get a no-knock warrant, your door kicked in, and armed police swarming your house to take your guns. That is not constitutional, yet it's happening. I see service dog handlers being taken down the same path. The potential exists. Then there's a potty form. You got to sign a form that says your dog can hold it for 8 hours. Well, you can include that in the initial assessment form. Again, this is all, here's the thing. The two questions allowed of service dog handlers right now by the ACAA are the same as the ADA. Is that a service dog required because of a disability? What tasks is trained to perform? And if they say yes and name tasks, as it stands right now, they are allowed to pass. They don't have to attest that their dog's not going to pee on the plane. They don't have to attest that their dog has all this training. They are given as equal access as they are anywhere else. That shouldn't change. Changing ESAs absolutely should change. And maybe the solution here is make the ESA handlers fill out all these forms.
Right.
Because guess what? Those aren't service dogs. And they don't have the same protection. What else? Limited number of service dogs to 2. Yeah, I don't have a problem with that. Permitted to require that the service animal fit within its handler's foot space on the aircraft. Okay. What I'm worried about here is I do have a 100-pound service dog, and he will not fit just in front of my feet. What I don't want is for this part of the law to prevent me from having the right to purchase a second seat so that I can fit on the aircraft with my service dog. It's not clear whether that's what they're saying or not. So I think that needs to be clarified. Carriers permitted to require the service animal be leashed or harnessed or tetherized or otherwise under the control of its handler. Same as the ADA, no problem. Prohibited from refusing to transport a service animal based solely on its breed. This is great. No more breed bans. Absolutely 100% agree. Just because the dog looks like a pit bull to somebody who's scared of any dog that they think might be a pit bull so they can deny you flying? No, that has to end. No breed bans. Absolutely agree. Require that the passenger with a disability. Okay, so the last part, provision, the big provision is the carriers that require that a passenger traveling with a service dog check in an hour early, then are required to make sure there's an employee there to check that person in early. Makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so why are we talking about this? Because on March 22nd, that's the last day that you can comment. Here's what we need you to do. Go to the Department of Transportation's Notice of Proposed Rulemaking, and in the upper right-hand corner of that screen, it says comment here. Click the button and comment on your thoughts about the NPRM. Please, please be polite. If you cuss and, you know, I don't want to see any more of those fucking fake service dogs. If you do that, they will not read your comment. It will not be included. They have to, by law, read every comment. So please go. If this affects you, you better go comment.
If it affects somebody you know.
Yeah, affects a family member. Your sister has a service dog, and you know she lives on the other side of the country, and the only way she can come visit is to fly.
And keep this in mind. I didn't have a service dog 5 years ago.
Yeah.
It may affect you in the future.
Yeah. Yeah. So please hit the, if you can't find it, come to the PTS dog page. It's the name of the note in the PTS dog page is Department of Transportation's proposed rule change for traveling with a service animal by air. We'll include links in the podcast for the show. But you only have until March 22nd for your voice to be heard. If this affects you, please go comment. We are plumb out of time, folks. Thank you very much for joining us. Scav, you got anything else to add?
I have nothing, man.
Okay. This was a long show. It was a hard show that we had to cover a lot. But these are things that are important in our community, folks, and we need to be aware of it. We all need to be aware of these things. Whether you agree, disagree, that's up to you. But we would be remiss as the service dog show if we weren't telling you about it.
Yeah, the good news is we got a couple cool guests coming up in the future.
Damn, Skippy. Thanks for joining us. We will talk to you next week. Don't forget, you can help support the Service Dog Show by supporting DV Radio. Go check out their Patreon, patreon.com/DV Radio, and see how you can help make sure that you continue to hear great shows like this. You're listening to Service Dog Show on DV Radio, WDVR.
DV Radio.